This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Thanks for your support, Melbourne. Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Michael.
And this is Colin.
And you're listening to Purple Speech. You're listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9. Of course, Michael James talking here. I'm joined by Colin Winter. If you ever want to see a half-naked guy in his tight underwear and hanging from the roof, then what better place to be at the Greyhound every Friday night for the show Boylesque? We're actually joined by the guys tonight clothed, which we're unfortunate about, but that's okay. We couldn't get them at this time of the hour. But Andy, Geordie, and of course Jason Coleman joining us live in the studio. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Easy. We could take our clothes off any moment. All you need to do is ask.
Well, it's not so much for my benefit, but more for Colin's, I think.
Only if you ask nicely.
Ask nicely? Did you mean the costumes tonight?
Did we bring costumes?
No.
I don't think we'll need them. We're at Joy FM, aren't we?
This is true.
This is true. Andy, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So, hi, everyone. I'm Andy, and I'm one of the members of Boylesque. Basically, I'm one of Jason Coleman's boys, so...
What does that mean?
Well,
personal, or is this...
No, there's nothing personal in it. No. As adorable as they all are, you don't shit in your nest.
No, it's all professional then?
That's
absolutely.
So.
I work for Jason in terms of all the dancing gigs and performing arts. So.
Yeah. How long have you been working for Jason for?
Since 2011 now. Oh. So I actually met Jason up in Sydney. So I was doing a gig up there and Jason was coring it. And that's how we officially
met. And he's a little powerhouse. He's fantastic. He's everything you want in a studio. He absolutely is. He's delightful. He works hard. He trusts you as a creative person. And he's an amazing little dancer with a really smart brain. So he's a pleasure. And he's a little hottie.
Oh, thanks, Jace.
I think I've heard the phrase pocket rocket.
That's the one. It comes with the height.
I think for Colin's sake, we need to define what that means. Explain what pocket rocket means.
Okay, so basically I'm the short member of the group, so even though I'm short, I don't hold back. So
hey, I'm little too, so...
That's true, but hey, I am the shortest one. But that's fine.
So, Geordie, you're actually one of the main drags for the Boylesque show. So yeah. What's your drag name?
So my drag name's Aurora. One of my friends actually dubbed me that name and... said that the name suits me because, you know, when the bitch hits the stage, she shines. So, and I definitely agree with that. As pretty as I look, like a Disney princess, I'm still fierce.
You do, Disney princess.
Geordie's fierce. When we did the first couple of shows, and this is not with the word of a lie here, when we did the first couple of shows, people were asking me after the show why I'd put a girl in Boylesque. And I'm like, that's a boy. That's a boy in there. And a really, really strong-willed young man. He's very talented, Geordie. And if I could talk about Geordie for a second,
yeah.
When Geordie first came into my world at the Ministry of Dance, he came in, I don't mean to define you, if you want to speak up in any way, go for Geordie. He came in as a young hip-hop dancer and you know, with hundreds of dancers coming around you every year. But he did everything. He worked hard. He pushed all the cliches that you hear, Geordie actually did. And he's just so viable in so many ways. And because he is a little guy, he's a niche in regards to this. But he knows that. He works it. He's confident about himself and his look. And he's fantastic in this show.
Doing great, Geordie.
Yeah. Aurora. And I think, thank you. I think it took me, you know, doing full-time at the ministry. I think those 2 years at took me a while to actually understand that about myself and understand my uniqueness and, you know, the different quality I bring. And I think, you know, Jason and Jackie as well did show me that. And yeah.
We tell these young dancers to work out what's unique about yourself and exploit it. Because there's 1,000 dancers hitting the dance scene and you've got 2 unique dancers sitting before me here, you know, because yeah, we've talked about Andy being the little guy and Geordie, you know, so it's great. I'm really proud of the fact that these 2 guys are sitting here talking to you and I'm really proud of Boylesque and we're having a really good time down at the GH.
It's a great show. Going back to Aurora, how long have you been doing drag for?
Well, I actually did my first piece of drag in my end of year show case at Ministries full time last year. So
was drag something that you always wanted to do?
It was something that was always there that I was always interested in, but just didn't know how to actually get involved and get into it. And I think doing it and also choreographing the piece in the full-time course show, I think I just actually, like, fell in love with it. And, you know, I think Jason saw something. I hope he saw something. and, yeah, just went from there.
It's putting the high heels on that makes you a little bit taller.
A little bit, yeah.
Makes
definitely.
You feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
We were doing Priscilla last year. We were doing a tribute to all the great dance on film, and we did Priscilla in this showpiece, and Geordie sat into that just brilliantly. That's the birth that he's talking about there. It was at the, and you know, this isn't a little showcase. This is at the Palms at the Crown. We put on a big
epic
show, and yeah, and you know, and that was one of the best numbers in the show, and it's transferred into this world. The laugh for me about Boylesque there, guys, is that I've been banging on for years, and even on television, you know, I've been banging on, you know, you must dance like a boy, you know, nobody's interested in boys that dance like girls. You know, this is where I've been banging for years, and publicly, and then I find myself, you know,
and yourself, these two guys.
Taking on Boylesque.
Completely.
But I love that, and I love that. There's the place for it, yeah. And we're celebrating that, and that's the art form, that's the name, there's the place to do that, and you know, yeah. So yeah, we're having a really good time.
Of course. Well, Jason, as you're saying, you obviously people know you from the judge of So You Think You Can Dance here in Australia. And as you were saying on that show, you know, do you find that you were more telling people how to dance or judging them in a different way that you might be doing now, I suppose, from then till now?
No, not in any way at all. And even the insinuation of the question implies that there's an idea or thought to my judgment, but there's not. You know, I was a judge on the Pop Stars in 2000, and that was the first reality television. There was no real roles to follow or anything. They just cast us in this. Now, I was 28 years old at a different point in my life, and you know, the want and will of a dancer, to be a good dancer, you've really got to want and push. And so we're all little goers. You know, if you know any dancers, there's a real similar thing to us about that. I went into the Pop Stars trying, or I tried to be smart, and I tried to be funny, and I tried to be a good judge. And I sat and watched myself on television for 2 years at home in my lounge room, looking through my fingers, just going, oh God, I thought I looked like a wanker. You know, I really did. And so when I got cast in So You Think You Can Dance, I stood on my balcony in my apartment in Sydney, and I looked into the sky, and I promised myself that I would turn up and say what I think about what I see, regardless of who's before me. I know what I'm talking about with dancing. I've been a dancer my whole life. I don't need to push. I don't need to brag. I don't need to sell myself. I don't need to be arrogant. And so, yeah, for the first 2 years, particularly of that show, I took a lot of pride in really working for the dancers and making sure that the public understood who we were and a little bit of passion about us and those things. It was a fantastic opportunity.
And Andy and Geordie, what do you think of Jason as a teacher?
Oh,
be honest.
No, I definitely, you know, do look up to him as a mentor and a teacher. And what he's all said is so true, and I don't know, yeah,
spot on. Like I wouldn't work for anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just all professional, and you get the job done, and yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. So I'm always grateful for every opportunity that I get.
Yeah,
so,
and of course, you guys are talking about the Ministry of Dance. Tell us, Jason, a little bit about the dance school there.
Look, the Ministry of Dance, I'm so very proud of it. It's the largest dance studio in the world, and we've done a lot of marketing about all those sorts of things, and a lot of people know about the space itself. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. But in doing so, I'd love to talk about what you just touched on there with these guys and the passion, the family that we're creating out there at the Ministry of Dance, the feeling of that, and the joy that I have working with these guys in the full circle nature of my life. I was them, right?
Yeah.
I was them. It was 18 years ago, but I was them, and I was doing these gigs. I was living this life. I know how they're feeling, their trials and their tribulations. I'm living vicariously through them. And not just here at the Greyhound every Friday night, but every day in my studio with little dancers from 3 years old who have the same eyes looking at me as I did to those before me. The full circle nature of my life. You know, somebody accused me in the newspaper last year of selling a dream that isn't true, saying there's no work for dancers. But it's ironic because I'm selling a dream that's the life that I'm living. Any one of these kids has the opportunity to push and strive and be smart and strong and still be going on. You know, a lot of the dancers that I worked with when I was 20 aren't working in the industry anymore, have second life choices and gone on into other things. So I'm really proud to be going. I'm really proud to have built the Ministry of Dance. I'm really proud for it to have grown into the biggest dance studio and the biggest school in Melbourne. And I'm most proud of all these beautiful young dancers we're creating. I was talking to one of the best choreographers in the country in Sydney today, and the text message said simply that I miss you, but I'm making some beautiful dances down here for you. So hopefully they'll all get to, you know, work for those amazing choreographers.
Yeah, and look, such a great positive message too. And I think, as you're saying, you touched on saying that there's no work out there for dancers. I think there is work out there. People are just looking hard enough, or they're not following it through, I suppose, in their own, like, their own in their own way.
You know, it's like a pyramid, okay? And so if as many dancers pour into the market, that fills out the bottom of the pyramid, and the base of the pyramid gets wider. Yeah, the top of the pyramid never changes; it only gets higher. So the top 5% of dancers in this country, the top 5% of them, have Gucci sunglasses and Bondi apartments. They're driving around in BMWs. You've just got to work that hard to make sure you get to that top 5%.
And with Andy and Jordy, what so far has been the most important thing you've gotten out of the Ministry of Dance school since you've been a part of it?
Basically, Andy, we'll start with you. Yeah, basically every opportunity, you know, any opportunity to get up on stage and perform.
Do you remember your first day?
Yeah, well, that was working with Jason up in Sydney, and that was for Amway, which was a huge convention, and we had an intense week of rehearsals and...
Like 150 dancers in the room, massive job.
Yeah, and we performed in Sydney Olympic Park, and it was just ridiculous. Like there was LED screens right around the studio. But yeah, and performing to thousands of people.
It was an $8 million setup. Chinese Amway people come in. They closed the Harbour Bridge so these people walk across the bridge by themselves. Yeah. And then we put on this epic entertainment. Yeah. It was a fantastic job. And Andy really stood out. 150 dancers and Andy stood out. So credit to him.
Thank you.
And Jordy? Do you remember your first day?
I remember your first day.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't. All I remember is about, you know, walking into full time, knowing that, you know, my first day, knowing that this is what I want to do. And, I know that I'm at the best place to accomplish that.
Are you saying
that.
2 years ago you started?
2 years ago. So I finished last year.
Okay. What's changed for you now? So what have you gotten out of it after the 2 years?
I think, well, definitely all the experience of performing, but also... so much information about the industry, and you know, like I've, as corny as this sounds, like I found myself, and like I know who I am, you know, I know what I want to do, and I'm happy. So
I think that's important. Like if you found yourself and it makes you happy, then who cares really?
Exactly.
And if you found yourself at that tertiary age of your life, right? I'm so proud of this at the Ministry of Dance. I could get a tear in my eye listening to Jordy say those words. If you found yourself at the tertiary age of your life, because it's a very hard time. It's where people are ridiculously looking for themselves. And I watched Jordy find that power in himself through all of the things that I preach that are great about our world, the hard work, the passion, the dedication, the confidence that you gain from putting yourself into the discipline that we do as dancers. It's all getting a bit heavy here, guys.
No, please. It's
really, really true, though. And it's an amazing part of it. And it's great to get the opportunity to talk about it.
Jason, what's the first thing you say to when a new dancer comes into your school? What's the first bit of advice you give them?
Well, the cliche that we print all over everything here, they're laughing because they've probably heard it 1,000 times, is you have to dance like you love it. And that's printed all over my stuff. It's like our slogan, but it's really true because it's too hard otherwise. You know, if you don't love it, then you're never, ever going to make it, because you've got to work and you've got to put yourself on the line and you've got to judge yourself and be judged by others. And you have to get better. You have to be the best. You've got to make that top 5%. There are a lot of dancers out there working as waiters, you know, and I say you've got to cover your rent and be working solely as a dancer to call yourself a professional dancer. Yeah, otherwise you're not. And all these guys are, and that's through teaching and choreographing and finding small performance gigs here and there. And you know, through my entire career, one of the boys, we had some beautiful big muscle guys to put into some of the earlier shows, and one of them said to me, you know, you put on the biggest shows in the world, why have you come back to the Greyhound? And I said, because I'm like a girl who can't say no to a dance. and that's been my whole career. Yeah, I get to put in those great shows and I love that, but in between those great shows, these bread and butter gigs and the industry that it creates for the beautiful young dancers I have around me, it's so important, so I'm enjoying it.
We're going to hear a few from our sponsors now, but we'll come back and we'll talk about your return, I suppose, to the Greyhound and the Boyless show.
Listen at work, on the treadmill, or even on the toilet. The new Joy app on your iPhone. The new Joy app on your iPhone. Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Michael.
And this is Colin.
And you're listening to Purple Speech. Purple Speech on Joy 94.9. Michael James here. Colin Winter oogling away there. We have, of course...
Colin Winter's a hot name. Let's stop there for a second.
So, here we go.
Colin Winter's a hot name.
That's Don't encourage him.
No, this is like a porn star name, Colin. is this your birth name or is this a choice name?
Well, actually, my mom went to a numerologist when I was about 2, so she changed my name to Colin and Winter there.
So she had the foresight that you're going to be a porn star.
Yeah. Apparently, pink bandana on your left wrist means dildo giver as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Dean, who informed me that. Dean from Hide and Seek. Yeah, thank you, Dean, for telling me that one.
As Madonna says, my bottom hurts just thinking about it.
And touched for the very first time. But no, we are speaking of, I suppose, sex on stage. You guys are all part of the Boylesque show.
Here we are.
I saw your Frozen show a few weeks back, and I must say, I've still got a lump in my pants from it.
Of course, we are
joined by Andy, Geordi, or Aurora, as your drag name is, and of course, Jason Coleman, a part of the Boylesque show. Jason, we'll start with you. Tell us a bit about the show.
Wow. Okay. So taking on Boylesque was a fantastic thing. When the owners of the GH came to see me, I was so excited. And because I joked about it a second ago. It's a great brand. They'd been running for a couple of years. It was fantastic. They had a great thing to walk in with. The most exciting part for me was the Greyhound Hotel installation itself. And I've really opened that up for them. Now it's been existing there in the room for a couple of years, but I put time codes in. You know. A little boring again, but I put time codes into these systems, and working with Jason the other Jason at the Greyhound on production, getting sequence lighting cues. There's 48 moving lights in there. The LED screen is ridiculous. I've incorporated the screens into the shows and filming, and so I've really opened the system up and got it working. So you don't just come down and watch a club show down there. We've had DJs coming in from America and from England and also from Sydney, Kitty Glitter and the big Aussie DJs coming in over the last 6 weeks, and all of them saying, oh my God, they can't believe the shows with the incorporating the flying skills into the shows as well. So it's not here's the dancing boys and then now Dan's going to swing around for, 3 minutes while the boys get changed. Trying to actually put that all into the show and give it some feeling. It's I believe, the most highly produced club show that's going on in the country, if not ever, in regards to a permanent installation. It's an absolute credit to the owners of the Greyhound Hotel. Their vision for the recreation and the redesign of the hotel and the room itself, the ability of the room, the ability to swap the room around, their choices of placement of the money that they've spent, and everything's been very, very well done.
I must agree, since seeing the show and since being seeing the renovations of the Greyhound, it is such an amazing experience. As you're saying, it's not just a club night. It's not you're on the dance floor and it's like a typical club night. It's a show.
It's the perfect Friday night out. Yeah. You're going into a room that rivals any installation in the world. It's a Moulin Rouge clubby-esque experience in regards to the amount of money they put into as an installation for a club. And then it's not hard work. It's not like going, bang, 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 bang in a club full of 20-year-olds that, don't understand you because you got a bit of grey hair. It's not like that. It's a really open room and a really fun crowd. There's lots of guys. There's lots of girls coming down. There's lots of young guys in there. It's really mixed and fun crowd. It's with no pressure. And I think that's why Fridays at the Greyhound have always been good, that other clubs try to open Fridays against the Greyhound with some really great marketing things, but it never really works because the Greyhound is the best experience, particularly in there for Friday night at the moment.
And what can we expect from a show? Because you have a few different themes that happen. I saw the Frozen one. You've got a new one, Erotica, starting this Saturday. Yeah. So more show from this Saturday. What can we expect from that show?
Do you boys want to talk about that?
How much can we give away?
the name in itself, it's Erotica. So we're going to do a little bit of a travel around the world with some very sexy little airline hostesses, if I could call them the girly name, but probably flight attendants. Mm. The problem is I've been fingering this flight attendant for an hour and I can't get her to come. So...
Maybe send a little podcast of the show that might change.
Yeah, look, it's going to be fun. It's a little tour around the world. It's going to be really light and fun. We started work on it a couple of days ago, and it's going to be really interesting.
A few surprises.
Yeah, that's definitely. For sure. And there's definitely something in there for everyone, so.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Andy, you're one of the dancers.
Yes.
In the show.
Mm-hmm.
How did you firstly get involved, and what sort of, I suppose, on the show, what can we expect from you and see from you?
Okay, so I'm one of the members in the group, and basically there's six boys and Geordi.
There's 11 boys in the new show.
11 boys, yeah. So we've got some new castmates, which is great because we are one big family.
Yeah.
So
what is it about the show that you love?
I love the fact that it's so creative and, we get to work in a venue that supports not only us as dancers, but... the community as well. So being part of the gay community and performing to, friends and family, because, our friends and family support us as well. And they come down and, working with LED screens and, there's, yeah, it's just, it's a feast for the eyes, really.
It is. And I think, look, I must say, just quickly touching on the fact that, I mean, there's a lot of other shows out there, even on a Friday night around Melbourne, but I think what makes Boylesque so unique and what makes it stand out is it's more than just, you know, a drag queen miming to a song up on stage. It's an experience.
Yeah, a lot of my friends that have come down and seen the show, they say to me that they would expect to pay big money to see a production like ours. And I'm honored to be in a production like that because, you know, who gets the chance to perform every Friday night and not only get to perform, but get to work with great people too.
And so, credit goes back to the Greyhound Hotel again, because they're putting the budgets into these shows. You know, everything in the world costs money.
Yeah.
Everything costs money. And they're putting really great money into these shows on a Friday night so that you get the exact experience that you just mentioned there. And again, it gives me a little bit of a chill when someone uses words like that around it, because that's exactly what we're trying to do.
But you know, it is.
We don't want people to watch this show. We want to evoke emotion in them, you know, resonate.
Yeah. Geordie, of course, you were the main drag of the show, so it's kind of like the spotlight on you a little bit there. How does that make you feel?
Well, I won't lie. I love it.
You love it.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. No, it's just good. Like, it's like a side of me and like a part of the industry that I do appreciate, and being able to perform that to people who to appreciate, you know, that art as much as I do is, you know, just makes you feel good every Friday night. And like, there's never a Friday night where I'm ever like, ugh, you know, got to do this again. Like, it's always something new, something different, new crowd, everyone loves it. So like, there's no negative side.
What's been
it.
Your biggest challenge since doing the show?
I think because before doing Greyhound and Boylesque, like, I never really, like, I knew about the drag scene and that whole side to it, but I was never really a part of it. So I guess making a name for myself and, you know, doing that through Boylesque has definitely helped, and through Greyhound. But I think that's one of the most challenging things for...
Do you find you get criticism from other drag queens?
Definitely. Like, it's always positive criticism, thank God, not, you know.
I have to ask.
Everyone has an opinion, but yeah. Drag queens are a pack of bitches.
They are.
No, they actually are. And but... Geordie's amazing. He's really great. And well, I have to mention at this point as well, we got two very important drags in our show. The other one's Filma Box, and Filma's our mum. She's the mum of our show. She's the hostess of our show. That's exactly how we all feel about her. She's also the designer and a creator of the costumes. And
I was just about to ask about the costume. That was my next question. The elaborate costumes or little costumes in the show.
Yeah.
Is that all Filma who...
That's
takes
right.
care of that.
Yeah, I sit down. I you know, I love making words up because it's funny. So I imaginate it in my head, right? The show, and I sit down. I get the music. I sit on the end of my bed generally, in a slightly dark space, and just see it all in my head like a movie. I rock up to work. I tell Darren what I think. He's got a fantastic aesthetic, a great design mind, and so together we work on what that is. He takes his full professional sewing team upstairs, and usually in 3 or 4 days they build the amazing, you know, 15 minutes. With the costumes that you see there. He's gorgeous. He's like a warm spirit and a beautiful, big, caring person who's there for all of us. Mm-hmm. And he's on stage himself, and there's a lot of hard work for that, because there's a sensibility of really needing to find and center yourself as a performer. And when you're having to also look after everybody else, we love Dazzle. He's great.
Yeah, he's good at juggling around, you know, all the different jobs that he has in Boylesque. And, you know, he's been in that industry for 20 plus years, so he knows everything. So much respect for him.
And so approachable too. Yeah. Really approachable.
And I think that's so important, especially being in the type of industry that it is. You want people to be able to firstly work together and have that such warm approach, because if you don't have it, the show wouldn't have lasted. It'll be as successful as it is now. So basically,
no bullshit, right? We're so lucky to be in show business. We are all working for all that passion we talked about in the last session here with you. The passion we talked about, we're doing that. We're living it. We're making money from what we do. Yeah, all the drama that goes around that, all of that, we're not into it. We just want to turn up. Our rules, 3 rules: turn up on time, work hard, and have a good time.
And be fierce. And be fierce. Yeah, fierce.
Yeah, it's fierce, always. As they say.
Fierce.
What has been the audience's reaction?
I think initially when we opened our first show, a lot of them were taken back, as it was very different from
the old Boylesque.
The previous, old original Boylesque. So, and it has taken a lot of, you know, the people that go there every week, you know, a couple of weeks to warm up twice and get used to us. But like now everyone loves us and it's good. So
change is good. People struggle with change.
People are afraid by change. Mm, they're afraid. Right.
There was a very interesting dichotomy for me to come into as a creative person because I really value some of what they were doing with the old Boylesque. And there was an element of that which was really working. But when the owners of the Greyhound came to me and asked me to come in, one of the reasons that they wanted me to come in because is they wanted gear changes. And the suggestion was that what was being done was just the same. It's really good, and it is good. I've seen some of it, but same. So they came to me and challenged me to take people on a journey. So when you come to a show at the Greyhound, you will see hot boys, you will see dancing, you will see boys dance around their undies, but you're going to be taken on a journey for that. Yeah, it's not just going to be hot, muscly boys dancing around to the latest club song. These are thought and processed, thought-evoking shows with hot, muscly boys in them.
I think you've just sold it, and you sold it to our listeners. Look, thank you guys for coming and talking to us. Of course, the Boylesque is on every Friday night at the Greyhound from 9 o'clock. Jason, Jordy, Andy, thank you for joining us tonight.
A pleasure. Anytime. Thanks for the support for Boylesque and the ministry.
Of course. I will put our links and all that on our Facebook page for people to check out. You're listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9.
You'll never need to.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.